south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, 5 at 50. Again, it's 5 at 50. I doubt 1 in 10,000 people knows what that means, 1 in 50. However, if you have anything to do with big pharma, you know what that means. It's a goal set by the big pharmaceutical industries, a goal they don't want to tell the average public about because not only does it seem too self-serving, but it seems kind of criminal. So what's it mean? Well, are you ready for this? Everyone who hits 50 is on at least 5 prescription medicines. Well, congratulations, big pharma, you've reached that goal and beyond, at least when it comes to the U.S., So how does this relate to anything we're talking about? Well, when people come down to my Latin Insider seminars, they're looking for a cleaner, healthier lifestyle so they don't end up with a medicine cabinet full of prescription drugs. And the people that come down that are well on their way to that eventuality, they want to be able to find a way to cut back because they're smart and they've done their homework and they know if they continue living the way they did up in the States, the stress, the treadmill, the diet, they've got nothing to look forward to but worsening health and more medications. And you know, it's not just me who's beating the drum for people who want to leave the GMO and hormone and antibiotically injected first world food supply behind. And the truth is, I can't think of any expat gringo, long-term or otherwise, who hasn't reported back to me that he feels better, has less stress, and more energy and stamina. Now, as for me, the only time I feel anywhere near the levels of stress I had up in the first world is when I'm in traffic, which is why I always recommend when you drive, leave the gun at home. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. People who come down here who are on a lot of prescription drugs, they always seem to be able to cut back. I know some who have weaned themselves off prescription drugs completely. Better yet, I don't think I've met a single expat gringo or gringa over, let's say, 40 years old who hasn't lost a bit of weight after being down here 6 months or so. I'm talking about losing weight without even trying. Of course, while down here, you're still perfectly able to live that first world regimen, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, Coca-Cola, Doritos, Cheetos, etc. They've got all that stuff down here too. And remember, Walmart's Latin America's biggest employer. Yep, you'll find them everywhere. There are virtually thousands of them down here, on and off the gringo tourist trail. Now, you may have read recently up in the first world media, they're closing down some Walmart stores up in the States. Well, they keep opening them down here, and the only place they've ever closed a Walmart store is, guess where? In Brazil, because Brazil's economy is absolutely in the crapper. And Walmart officials in Brazil are saying that it's the 35 to 50% import taxes on all items that's killing them. Now, you might find it funny that when you're on the gringo tourist trail, you see many, many more overweight gringos and tourists. Whereas when you run into gringos off the tourist trail, they always seem to be in much better shape. And funny enough, with overweight and out-of-shape gringos comes yet another common first-world phenomena, a plethora of health and wellness-type clinics. Yep, they're here, all right, targeting all the usual gringo lifestyle-induced healthcare problems. Diabetes, foot problems, back problems, hypertension, drug and alcohol problems, colon, rectal, and digestive issues, stress and anxiety. You name the first world lifestyle problem, and a half a dozen clinics will pop up on the tourist trail to treat it. Now, you longtime listeners have heard me say I like to go to those big fresh produce markets at least a couple times a month. And I'll often spend 25 bucks a crack for 2 weeks worth of food. I mean, real food, the way grandma used to grow it. With 95% of it grown probably within 5 to 50 miles of point of sale at that market. However, I must admit, I stop into Walmart and the local Costco once in a while for paper towels and trash bags and laundry soap and stuff like that. Not to buy anything for human consumption anyway. In fact, that's where I bought my gas generator and treadmill at Costco. By the way, I always recommend you buy yourself a little gas generator. Better yet, have it converted to propane. That'll cost you maybe 30 bucks. Then maybe have 20 gallons of gas and jerry cans outside in a closet or bodega. Better yet, 2 100-pound tanks of propane gas. Not that you're going to use them much, it's just insurance. Now I think, in fact I bet, that if you had those things up in the States in about a year or so, they'll be worth their weight in gold. And I know some of you listeners up there know exactly what I'm talking about. But I digress again. So yes, in a way, I've jumped from one treadmill to another. Of course, I'm talking about the kind of treadmills that are actually good for you. By the way, another reason I pop into Costco once in a while is because surprising things show up on the shelves there. They come and go, too. In other words, if you've got an item and you're used to getting it, let's say, for example, extra virgin olive oil, well, you could be buying that stuff year over year, and all of a sudden it's gone and never comes back again, at least not the brand that you want. In fact, the other day I was hit with a really big surprise. I was in Costco, one that's way off the Gringo Tourist Trail. In fact, I think I've been in that place, must be 25 times or so now, and I think I've seen maybe 5 real gringos in there in all that time. Talk about pretentious gringo wannabes, the place is absolutely filled with them. In fact, I've probably seen 20 times more bodyguards than I've seen gringos. And that says what kind of clientele they serve. In fact, the only indigenous people I've ever seen in there are ones that might be working there and maids pushing the carts of their female boss ladies. In fact, get this, I was at the information desk / customer service window returning a broken LED flashlight that was still under warranty. I was standing there doing nothing, twiddling my thumbs for maybe 10 minutes, just waiting around because, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a first world franchise, we're talking mañana time here. That means any little phone call or a wave hello from someone passing by will stop the attendant from whatever he or she was doing at the time, like helping you. So, whenever dealing with Latins, expect those polite interruptions on a regular, irritating basis. And they are polite, because remember, Latins are almost always happy and friendly. Now, when you're waiting at a desk like that for 10 minutes or more, and no one else is around because the lady has taken off somewhere, you begin to look around and check things out, staring and reading the notes and postings, some that are obviously meant only for the people that work behind the counter. Those would be confidential internal memos and such. Now, soon enough, I noticed 2 little messages taped just slightly out of view, and I had to bend over the desk to see them. One of them said, "No permitan guardaespaldas dentro nuestra tienda sin membresía. Ni permitan ellos usan el baño tampoco." Which translates in English to, "We don't allow bodyguards inside the store unless they've bought a membership card. And we don't permit them to use our bathrooms either." And of course, the pretentious jerks with bodyguards are not going to dish out $25 a year for each of their bodyguards to have a membership when the bodyguards could never afford to shop in a place like that anyway. So that's why you see them hanging around the Costco parking lots or in their cars and not in the building. Not anymore anyway, not since that little sign was posted. And I noticed the date on it was around 4 months ago. So I can only imagine the management got fed up with those lazy slugs hanging around and scumming up the bathrooms for the regular customers. Remember, the bodyguards are part of that class that use the world as their urinal. They don't come equipped with proper manners as we know them. Which proves you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and that you can dress them up but you can't take them home to mommy. However, I saw no such sign or posting prohibiting cleaning ladies or maids from coming into Costco with their boss ladies. I mean, really, I feel for those boss ladies. Pushing one of those carts down the aisles is hard, heavy work, isn't it? I mean, come on, doesn't everyone need a maid, cleaning lady, or serviente to do that kind of dirty work? Now, I mentioned the word serviente because I've been hearing it a lot lately from upscale Latins. That's pretentious, older female Latinas with dough. Now, to most of us first world people, to hear someone called a servant is pretty demeaning. Again, in Spanish, that's serviente. But I've been hearing it more and more. Oh, Johnny, just throw your jacket anywhere. The serviente will take care of it. Johnny, you know, your car's kind of dirty. We have servientes. They'll wash it for you. Say what? And you know, as soon as I hear some pretentious jerk use that term, I automatically think, I really don't want to be friends with that person anymore. But perhaps I shouldn't be so judgmental. Could be I'm getting this thing all wrong. When I'm in Costco or Walmart, and I see a maid or a cleaning lady or what they call serviente pushing one of those carts, could be because the jefa, the boss lady, just doesn't have the strength to push that heavy thing down the aisle. I mean, let's face it, she's got one hand heavy with jewelry, constantly working that iPhone, and the other hand has to be free to point to things on the shelf she wants to buy. Oh, the strain of having to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, the Castillos. All right, my bad. But where were we? Oh yeah, standing behind the information / customer service counter at Costco. Oh, and by the way, depending on which country you are in Latin America, they call them Costcos or they call them Price Smarts. Either way, they're membership stores and they carry all the Costco or most of the Costco products, plus some of the local stuff too. Which, by the way, is a great opportunity for gringos who have developed some kind of product down here in Latin America. Because you see, once or twice a year, Costco and Walmart have product conventions where you can come in and show them your locally made product. And if they think there's some demand, or if it can replace a product that's being imported from another country like the US, they will pick up your product line because the logistics and the costs are to their advantage. That way, they can avoid customs inspections, fees, and delays, and import taxes. So it's a win-win for you, the gringo, if you can produce a product in-country and sell it to Walmart or Costco. Again, big stores like Walmart and Costco are constantly looking for local suppliers. Don't leave that out of your equation if you're looking to start a business down here. There are countless numbers of niches that need to be filled. And you'll really only hit on that stuff if you've got boots on the ground down here, but you knew that already, right? Anyway, I was standing at the Costco customer service desk, reading those little postings and notices that are meant for employees only. By the way, you've probably figured out I've always been overly curious, kind of a snoop. So when you invite me over to your house, I'm gonna look in your medicine cabinet. You can count on it. I won't take anything, though, because I have too much fallen Catholic guilt for that. Anyway, another little posting I saw, which was meant for the employees' eyes only for sure, was a list of deadbeats who had bounced a few rubber checks and were now cash-only customers. Now, what's so unusual about that is, I noticed some very heavy hitters on that list. Three that I recognized as diputados, that would be senators in Congress, a cabinet member, and a former vice president of the country. Most of whom I've seen in that particular Costco at one time or another. All of them fat, pompous, pretentious, despicable, and with a string of bodyguards. And you know, if he's been bouncing checks, he's certainly behind in paying his bodyguards. Which really puts in question their loyalty and if they'd take a bullet for that fat jerk. By the way, gringos asked me repeatedly about credit bureaus in Latin America. Well, down here there's a huge lag time on credit scores and credit rating agencies. They really don't exist. However, if you bounce some checks, don't pay your Visa or credit card bill, or are behind on paying payments through a bank loan, local banks and credit card agencies have been sharing that kind of information. But as for credit ratings and credit scores, that kind of stuff does not exist down here yet, but it'll get here in time. Now, of course, down here, getting a bank loan is very tough. Their due diligence goes far beyond U.S. banks because they've got no Federal Reserve to back them up. And up till just recently, you had to put 20% or more down for a home loan. Of course, now that there's a huge real estate bubble here in Latin America, you'll see a lot of no money down offerings. So what's that all about? If you look into it, you'll see it's not the banks that are giving 0% loans, but the developers. Now, the big banks down here in Latin America are not stupid. The ones that have been around a long time, 35 years or more, have seen other smaller banks come and go, but the big ones remain. Why? Because they were founded and are still operated by massive coffee, sugar, tobacco, and pineapple magnates and such. So when you see big billboards along the highway advertising housing or lots for no money down, or with a ridiculous down payment like $500 or $1,000, it's the housing project developer that's offering those terms. Why? Because they can't find qualified buyers who have the down payment to get a bank loan. And it's the housing developer that needs to keep the cash flow going, so they'll sign up pretty much any warm body they can. Sound familiar? Which just means there's huge underlying problems in Latin American real estate. In fact, I was just speaking to a Latin lawyer the other day, and he said, "Johnny, something weird is happening in the real estate market." And I act surprised and said, "No shit, Sherlock." Actually, I said, "No shit, Carlos." He said, "Johnny, for the first time, rents are going down." Well, that's never happened before. Not here in Latin America anyway, and everybody who sees it, people in the industry, are thinking, something's going on here and it ain't good. What a bunch of dummies, huh? Which is why when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you could rent a brand new 3-bedroom home with a little garden in a gated, guarded community and all that for a cool $400 a month. Yes, I'm talking brand new. You'll be the first one in. Now, you might see it in the local papers or the bulletin boards or OLX.com at $600 or $700, but they will take $400. Why? Because it's just sitting there doing nothing, gathering dust and growing mold. Now, it's true, if you look on the internet and you try to find these deals from up there in Cleveland, you'll see houses like that all over the internet for $800 or $1,000 a month. Which is why, to get those kind of deals, you must get boots on the ground yourself and hit those places with a Spanish speaker. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, that very day I was in that Costco, I watched a fork truck come in with a pallet of 54-ounce jars of Carrington Farm, all organic, cold-pressed coconut oil. Now, for a second there, I couldn't believe my eyes. That's the very same stuff I often order from Amazon and have people bring down for me. And the cheapest I've ever seen it on Amazon is around $22 or $23 for a 54-ounce jar like that. Then you have to pay shipping to somewhere in the States. They won't ship it overseas. Then you have to somehow get it down here to Latin America. Now, I know it's crazy even talking about coconut oil and ordering coconut oil from overseas when the coconuts are virtually falling from the trees down here. In fact, if you're anywhere near the coast, they're kind of a nuisance. They pile up everywhere. Yet you pretty much can't get good, cheap, sanitary coconut oil from the locals. Yes, a lot of locals on the Caribbean coast make it by hand, but it's quite unsanitary. I've seen it done in the kitchen of a couple of old ladies. Let me tell you, it wasn't pretty. Oh, sure, you can go into organic and health food stores. You'll find those all around the gringo tourist trails and in the high-end shopping centers where the wealthy Latins show off and strut their stuff, you know, their tremendous gringo wannabes. Even Walmart and Costco have been carrying coconut oil for quite some time. Small, quite expensive jars coming from the Philippines, usually. Go figure, huh, when the coconuts are falling on our heads down here. Anyway, it's generally coming from the Philippines via a company in the States, and it's always double or even triple what you can pay for the same thing on Amazon. Then, of course, you have to find a way to get it down here to Latin America. Now, you longtime listeners have heard me talk about that niche that needs to be filled down here in Latin America. A gringo just has to set up a private little coconut oil business. There's just loads of money to be made. It's catching on down here, too. Not to mention more and more people coming down are health conscious and know all about that stuff and why it's so good for you and beats all other kinds of oils, etc. But you knew that already, right? Now, like I said in the past, Walmart and Costco have brought in various brands of coconut oil. But until a few days ago, they never brought in those so convenient 54-ounce jars of the stuff. So when that guy brought that pallet in right in front of my face, I instantly bought 12 of them. And the real amazing thing? It's actually a couple of bucks less than buying it on Amazon, and it's down here already. So no mules or shipping necessary. By the way, I'd like to thank Augie, you know who you are, for muling down my last 4 jars of that stuff. If I'd have known Costco was bringing it down, I never would have put you through that. Sorry. So now you might be thinking, well, the coconut problems are over. Now you can get it at Costco for less than you can buy it on Amazon. Well, not so fast. You see, down here in Latin America, things are never easily predictable. This is the third world, you know. Sometimes it's in stock months and months, even years. You take it for granted and suddenly you never see it again. By the way, I don't like Walmart or Costco or any of the big box stores. And for how much you might be against them too, for their labor practices, for importing all that junk from China, whatever. You can be smug and idealistic about it, but let's face it, we lost that war a long time ago. If you think you're going to save the good old USA by buying American, well, go ahead. Buy just American and you'll have an empty house and empty cupboards too. That's why we're looking to have a plan B down here in Latin America, aren't we? The US is going down the toilet and there's just no fixing it. But I digress as usual. Anyway, bottom line, sometimes when you're looking for specialty products, you'll buy what's there even if it's not your brand and the price isn't right. Now, I don't want to go on and on about this coconut oil thing. It's probably boring a lot of you. Some of you probably don't even use it, though you should. And if you don't, it's probably because you know it's 4 times as expensive by volume as extra virgin olive oil. So then, what about other specialty food items? Now, on the Gringo Tourist Trail, like I said, you'll find all kinds of little organic food stores, run by gringos, of course, selling all kinds of natural and organic stuff at boutique prices. Well, just know that's pretty much not necessary at all. Why? Because there's practically an unlimited supply of unbelievably fresh vegetables, fruits, and produce at your local outdoor market at a quarter to a fifth of what you pay for that stuff up in the States. In fact, every time I do an expat insider seminar, I take everyone to one of those big markets just to prove to them that all this is really true. Which brings us to this very relevant article. It says, researchers from the University of Manchester, United Kingdom, have concluded that cancer is a purely modern, man-made disease. In the United Kingdom alone, it says, 1 out of 3 people will get cancer. Now, listen to this part. I'm sure you've never heard this before. It says, the university researchers spent a great deal of time studying mummies, fossils, and ancient classical books and literature before arriving at their conclusions. The researchers said the disease, cancer, is a man-made disease fueled by the excesses of modern life. This is because tumors were rare, they say, until very recent times. And almost always, there was a direct cause and effect. It says, in the study of hundreds of Egyptian mummies, the researchers found no signs of cancers in all but one case. It says, slivers of tissue from hundreds of Egyptian mummies were rehydrated and studied microscopically. The researchers then found only one case of cancer in all the hundreds of mummies examined. In the past, some researchers have argued that ancient Egyptians did not live long enough to develop cancer. To dismiss this as a weak argument, the researchers point out that other age-related diseases were prevalent, such as hardening of the arteries, brittle fused bones, osteoporosis, and other modern-day age-related ailments that occurred in former times. Then it goes on to say, evidence of descriptions of cancer in ancient Egyptian texts is also quite tenuous, with cancer-like problems more likely being caused by leprosy, bacterial infections, or even varicose veins. It is said the ancient Greeks were the first to define cancer as a specific disease. However, the 17th century provides the first descriptions of cancer operations. But the correlating evidence shows that tumors only occurred in the past 200 years. There's almost no real evidence of distinguishable cancerous tumors before then. In fact, nasal cancer first started appearing in snuff users in 1761. Before that, no nasal cancers on record. Then came scrotal and testicular cancer. They started appearing for the first time in chimney sweeps in the UK in 1775. Before that, no other mention of that type of cancer on record. It goes on to say, the lead researcher in the current study, Michael Zimmerman, said there should have been plenty of cancer evidence available in ancient societies. He's quoted here as saying, in ancient societies lacking surgical interventions, evidence of cancer should remain in all cases. The virtual absence of malignancies in mummies must be interpreted as indicating their rarity and antiquity, evidence that cancer-causing factors are limited to societies affected by modern diet and industrialization. Then it says, Professor Rosalie David, who also played a key role in the analysis of the study and the data involving mummies and classical literature, she says, in industrial societies, cancer is second only to cardiovascular disease as a cause of death. But in ancient times, it was extremely rare. There's nothing in the natural environment that could have caused cancer, so it has to be man-made disease. It comes down to pollution and diet and changes in our lifestyle, she says. Then she adds, we can now make very clear statements on the cancer rates in societies because we have a full overview. We have looked at millennia now, not just 100 years, and have masses and masses of data. Yet again, extensive ancient Egyptian data, along with other data from across the millennia, has given modern society a very clear message that cancer is man-made and something that we can and should personally address. Then it ends by saying, your lifestyle choices can and will decide whether you develop cancer in your lifetime. And if you want to know more about these studies, just watch the Truth About Cancer documentary series. All right, so you got the idea, right? So why am I bringing all this up? Well, you know why. Because when you come down here to Latin America, you can eat healthier than you ever have in your life. Now, I've heard from my own family members up in the States, it's so damn hard to eat organic and natural up there because it's so damn expensive. Sometimes it can be four times as expensive, for example, to get a dozen eggs that are certified organic. And when you're talking about certified organic chicken, beef, fish, whatever, forget about it. Then you're really talking about a lot of dough. Now, I know a lot of you listeners have money and you really don't care about that. But I guess for the 90% of you others who are really looking to come down to Latin America as a way to continue living a meaningful first world lifestyle without wiping out your pension or your nest egg, well, then you really should be paying attention. And you know, at the risk of repeating myself, I'm a great case, a great example of this. I came down, 27 plus years ago, had arthritis diagnosed in my left knee, carpal tunnel syndrome in my right hand that surgeons were dying to operate on. Diagnosed with high blood pressure, slated to go on the latest and greatest calcium channel blockers for that. On top of that, I've got familial migraine headaches. They run in the family. All the ladies in the family have them too, and lucky me. And now, 27-plus years later, any first-world U.S. doctor would have predicted that I'd be on all kinds of pills and medications by now, had a couple of operations, maybe walking with a cane or an artificial knee. And now, more than a quarter of a century later, I'm happy to report no carpal tunnel, no high blood pressure, no arthritis, and no, I'm talking zero prescription medicines, except the occasional dose of sumatriptan, which I only take when migraines are coming on. In fact, I don't even get the occasional aches and pains people complain about regularly once they hit 50. Oh, and I'm at my high school weight, too. By the way, I just read that only 1 out of 30 U.S. citizens over 50 is at his high school weight. As opposed to my two brothers. They're both younger. They're both very overweight. They both have reached the big pharma goal of 5 at 50. That would be 5 prescription medicines at least by the time you hit 50. One of them's got severe arthritis in his hands and has had 2 mild heart attacks, and the other has had heart stents. For all I know, if I had stayed in the U.S., I'd be worse off than they are. Call it dumb luck or me winning the lottery, I think it's a bit of both. The key, of course, is I had a plan B and I moved down to Latin America. So come on down, use less meds, and in due time, you'll have a lot more stamina, more energy, and a lot less weight to haul around, too. And one of the prime factors is to visit one of those big produce markets regularly. All right, we're getting close to the end of the show now. I'd like to speak to all of you who've been writing emails asking about my next Expat Insider Seminar. Well, I've picked the dates, and it'll start Saturday, January 7th, 2017. This just might be your very last chance to get your Plan B started. The doors are closing, you know, and fast. So anyway, if you're interested in getting on the early bird discount list, just send me an email. By the way, I'm setting a limit of 25 people, and I've already got more than half that many on the early bird list. In all the time I've been doing these seminars, I've never seen so much interest this early. It's easy to see why. People are realizing it's time to get off the fence. You've got 2 choices. You could hunker down in your basement and be a prepper. Yeah, and do let me know how that works out. Or you can come down, get your boots on the ground, get that Plan B going, and have a nice, comfortable insurance policy for whenever the poop hits the fan up there. And it will. You know that. And don't forget to go to www.thenewexpat.com. Check out Boots on the Ground master blogger John Galt to find out what it's like to live here in Latin America as a relative newcomer. He's been down here 3-plus years now. And finally, do check out my YouTube channel. See the crazy slides and pictures that go along with the audio for the show. Do check it out, and if you don't get a laugh or two, well, then you need some happy pills.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.